Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The pericope assigned for our consideration this morning is the portion of Scripture which was read by Chris from the lectern, and you may recognize this as being one of the main sedes in the New Testament for the doctrine of the divine inspiration of the Bible. Our text, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 to 21, is like a bridge supported by two moorings, or like a cradle suspended between two pivots. One is directly set before the text, and the other is found directly after the text. In other words, our text has a context. Prior to the beginning of our text for the morning, we note in 1 Peter chapter 1 the diligent resolve of the Apostle Peter in regard to his readers, who according to Peter have obtained with Peter like precious faith. Peter's resolve is therefore to continually to remind the Christians of those things which they already know, and of the truth in which they are already established. This knowledge, this truth, and this faith, we refer directly to their participation in the saving knowledge of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Immediately after our text, the beginnings of chapter 2 of Peter's second epistle, we find out why Peter, while alive and even after his departure from this life, diligently seeks to keep his Christian converts continually committed to the gospel which they believe. The reason is evident as we look at the first few verses of chapter 2 of 2 Peter, where we're told by Peter, "But there were false prophets among the people of Israel in the Old Testament, even as there shall be false teachers among you," God's New Testament people. "These false teachers secretly and slyly bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and they bring upon themselves swift destruction. And the bad news is that many shall follow their pernicious or scandalous ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness, these false teachers shall with feigned words make merchandise of you." Christians are continually subject to the temptations of false teachers and false teachings which attack the truth and appeal to the flesh. In his first epistle, Peter tells us that Satan is like a roaring lion, and his roving around the world bodes ill for each and every Christian. Satan is far too successful in enlisting in his ranks teachers who have left the gospel and whose influence is a threat to our faith and to our Christian well-being. This is the situation, or the consideration, that motivated St. Peter to continually remind his readers of the certainty of the gospel in which they stood. Our text then this morning shows us how Peter proposed to go about keeping his Christian readers firmly committed to the gospel and to the Christian faith. Against the words, the feigned words of false teachers, Peter sets forth the firm words of the true revelation of Jesus the Christ. There is no other defense against false teaching than the teaching of gospel truth or the teaching of the true gospel. Our one method of defense against all falsehood is our steadfast adherence to the pure and to the sure and to the secure word of our God. This fact is attested to in the 6 verses of our text. 2 Peter 1, verses 16 to 21, from two perspectives. In verses 16, 17, and 18, Peter speaks of the New Testament evidence which substantiates the gospel. In verses 19, 20, and 21, Peter speaks of the Old Testament evidence which substantiates the gospel. Taken together, all 6 verses speak to us of Christ, who is revealed to us in both testaments. On the basis of our text, we note the following. First of all, Peter and the apostles have not followed cunningly devised fables or myths, which were contrived in or derived from their own minds. The gospel of salvation does not have its origin in man. On the contrary, in reference to the power and the coming of Jesus Christ into this world, the apostles were both eyewitnesses and ear witnesses of Jesus. As such, they reported a testimony of the facts as they received them on the basis of historical experience. The apostolic testimony is a witness that's based on what their eyes saw and what their ears heard. St. John, in the beginning of his first epistle, says they simply told it as it was. That which we have seen and that which we have heard declare we unto you. The only unresolved issue is whether or not we believe the testimony of the apostles. But secondly, there's a second testimony in addition to that of the apostolic experience and the apostolic witness as recorded in verses 16 through 18. The New Testament was preceded by an Old Testament or Older Testament embodied in canonical writings handed down by God's people of the past to God's people of the present and of the future. Peter points especially to the prophetic emphasis of the Old Testament, which, like the apostolic seeing and hearing, bore witness to the power and to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But here, as we come to verse 19, a question arises, simply because the King James and even the AAT, your Pew Bibles, read verse 19 as follows, render verse 19 as follows. We have, in reference to the Old Testament, a more sure word of prophecy. Now, is Peter really setting the Old Testament against his own New Testament experiences as being more sure and a more firm testimony of Jesus Christ? Or is Peter telling us that the New Testament witness of the apostles, rather than being weaker than the witness or the authority of the Old Testament, simply makes the Old Testament itself more sure, and more firm? Are the two testaments being set against each other by St. Peter, or are they coordinated and set together? The Old Testament compared to the New Testament is not at all, like the King James Version and the AAT suggest, a more sure word of prophecy. Rather, it's like the rendering of the Revised Standard Version of the New or the New American Standard Bible, which renders verse 19 as follows: the Old Testament is a prophetic word made more sure. Made more sure by what? Made more sure by the New Testament witness of the apostles. And also, God's Word, the New 1995 translation, renders this verse very interestingly: so we regard the words of the prophets as confirmed beyond all doubt. The confirmation or certainty of the prophecy of the Old Testament is its fulfillment in the coming of Jesus as the Christ. We today, as were God's people back then, are called by Peter to withstand the onslaughts of many, many false teachers who have abounded in, who have hounded, and who have confounded the Christian church. If we are to stand firm, it is only as we continue to seek the Christ prophetically pictured for us by the Old Testament prophets and positively identified for us by the New Testament apostles. As the divine human Christ is one person and one divine revelation, so the two testaments form one holy book and one divine testimony. Only the scriptures of the Christ, confessed in conformity to the apostolic witness, can light up all the dark places of false teaching found in this present evil world. And only the scriptures of the Christ can keep us firmly in the faith and firmly standing against the feigned words of deceivers who seek to lead us astray with all of their false teachings. No wonder that Martin Luther taught us to sing, "Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word," that is the gospel, as it's prophesied in the Old Testament, and the same gospel as it's fulfilled in the New Testament. Our faith will indeed be firm as we firmly stand upon the firm standard of the word of our God. God grant that such steadfastness may be both our song and our prayer today and throughout all the days of our lives. Amen.